breaking news. Members of Congress demand that Nancy Pelosi remove Eric Swalwell from the Intelligence Committee. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So while mainstream media may not want to consider Eric Swalwell and the Chinese spy he had a relationship with who placed an intern in his office, of course, he's on the House Intelligence Committee and was one of just, as you talked about yesterday, Dad, nobody. I mean, this was a guy who was up until, I think the last month, still calling the president a Russian agent, calling President Trump a Russian agent. Well, in fact, he was having personal dealings and actual work dealings with a Chinese spy. There's no question about that now. That's not a theory. That's a fact. And 17 members of Congress, including the whip, Majority Whip Steve Scalise, and the Liz Cheney, who is the House Republican Conference Chair, so the number 2 and 3 Republicans in the House of Representatives leadership, have called, joined with 15 others, and called on Nancy Pelosi to remove remove Swalwell from the Intelligence Committee. Again, I think this pressure has got to grow on Nancy Pelosi, because it's got to be Democrats, too, who realize he is hurting them by staying on this committee. And the question is, how many other Democrats may have been in the same position as Swalwell? Is that why the mainstream media and so many Democrats are kind of trying to ignore this issue? It's how close were these Chinese spies to other offices? And listen, I heard Liz Cheney this morning, and she said, listen, all of their offices have to be on guard.
Yes.
But the fact is that when you have these long-term relationships, you should start questioning those with anyone from the international world, especially those who are considered, whether they're economic adversaries like China, or the, as
especially
our
here.
Director of National Intelligence has said, the number one threat posed to America right now is the Chinese threat, the coronavirus being linked to China, all of that, and this targeting, that you have got to be aware. And sometimes they sneak through, but other times, you should have noticed beforehand what was going on. And certainly, that's not the kind of person you want on the Intel Committee that gets classified briefings on a regular basis.
Well, and the other aspect of this, which we talked about yesterday, but I think it's worth reiterating, is that in this situation, and particularly here with Swalwell, who is the leading, one of the leading antagonists, protagonists of the impeachment, the Russia gate falsehood. I mean, that whole thing was nonsense. Even the special counsel said there was no collusion or coordination with the Trump campaign and the Russians. Yet Swalwell was saying even this year, this summer, that he believes that the president was an agent of the Russian government. Meanwhile, he was having interns placed in his office by a Chinese spy who was a student but was also able to bundle for him financially. We talked about that a little bit yesterday, but you got to understand something, folks. A bundler is able to have access to enormous donors, big donors.
Right.
And she was able to do that, and Swalwell thought that was normal. And then we know Nancy Pelosi knows, but what does she do about it? And where is Adam Schiff saying, oh my gosh, he's been compromised, let's investigate?
Yeah.
The double duplicative nature of this, frankly, is incredible. But we at the ACLJ have already prepared now 2 FOIA requests, 1 to the FBI, 1 to the Office of Director of National Intelligence.
And we've also got one ready to go to the National Security Agency as well, the NSA, on Swalwell. I mean, because this, again, this is the fight you're going to have to be ready for. They did impeach our current president over a phone call. They've got Chinese spies. Remember, you've had Barbara Feinstein had this issue with her driver was a Chinese spy and listening into all of her conversations. I mean, this, again, Democrats need to take the action to build faith in the American people that it's not just partisan when it comes to Intel. I mean, the Intel Committee should be the least partisan committee, but Adam Schiff is the chair right now, so it's the most partisan committee. We agree with these members of Congress. Swalwell should have done this voluntarily, but now there's a call for him to step down. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular Live. This is Jordan Secular. We are taking your phone call. So we're now starting to see members of Congress, high-ranking members of Congress, like Steve Scalise, the GOP Majority Whip, Liz Cheney, number three-ranking member in the House of Representatives for the Republicans, calling directly on Nancy Pelosi to remove Eric Swalwell from the Intel Committee. He should have done it voluntarily. He should have at least taken, like, he could have probably saved face by taking a leave, let an investigation go on, and then maybe they can decide later if he should still serve in that role. I don't think he should because of his lapse of judgment and because of the way he was throwing out things like the president is a Russian agent. I wonder if the Chinese spy was feeding him that information.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, we talk a lot about, well, maybe she didn't get a lot of access to classified U.S. info, but what false info was she feeding him to then put out officially as a member of Congress and go on TV and make these claims about the president as a Russian agent, which is something that would be treasonous.
And then he gets briefed, and then she leaves.
But he stays on the committee.
He does not move off the committee, which I want to ask the fan. Before I do that, let me say this. If you're on our social media platforms, and radio audience too, you need to tell your friends to listen to the broadcast. But if you're on Facebook, we want to encourage you to like it and follow it. If you're on YouTube right now, our YouTube numbers are growing, the number of people subscribing. We're almost at 280,000. I really would like to finish up this next couple of weeks over 300,000. It gives us the ability to put more material up on YouTube for you. Hit that subscribe button right now and the little bell next to it so you get notifications when we go live. Subscribe and the bell. Very important. And share it. Everybody should be sharing this feed with your friends right now. So we encourage you to do that. Subscribe on YouTube and hit the bell.
I think outside of, you know, we have a lot of new viewers. We have a lot of new listeners to the broadcast because of our work on behalf of President Trump, which continues. But this is an example of what the ACLJ does when we learn about information like this. We are not just a radio broadcast or television broadcast that talks about these issues. We certainly go on television to do that, but we take action. So we have filed, and Ben Sisney, senior counsel with the ACLJ, just let me know, our FOIAs are going out today on this very topic, on Eric Swalwell, to the National Security Agency, to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, to the State Department, and to the FBI. And I will say, three of the four of those right now are still led by people who I think would put out the information.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the FBI.
Probably
because
not.
Christopher Wray is staying on, it looks like, with the Biden administration, which tells you all about why we're still having problems with the Federal Bureau of Investigation when it came to the Durham investigation and why he had to be made into a special counsel. There are calls to, and there's questions a lot out there about whether or not there should be a special counsel appointed on Swalwell's matter so that it doesn't disappear in case those Georgia Senate races go the other way and Republicans are
you
no longer.
You know my view on special counsels. Yeah, I don't like them from the beginning. I don't like them from Republicans. I don't like them from Democrats. And believe me, I have some firsthand experience. Than, what is the sense? You're there on Capitol Hill. What's the sense of this right now? It's certainly picked up in the last since we were on yesterday.
Sure has, Jay. And look, I mean, I think it dovetails with why we are issuing this FOIA request in the first place. I mean, it is just an ironclad certainty, Jay, that Eric Swalwell wouldn't have been the only target of this operation. But we don't know at this point who else they targeted. And yesterday we played on air how Speaker Pelosi said, well, it's okay. The committee was fully aware of this happened. Jay, I want people to understand, in this letter that 17 members of Congress have written, they specifically say in writing that Congressman Swalwell kept this information from the other members of the committee for 5 years. So look, the question has to be asked, was this operation targeted at other members of the House Intelligence Committee? How many members did they infiltrate? And Jay, the other question I think is fair to ask, Speaker Pelosi has the power to pull him off of this committee right now. Why doesn't she do it? I think you have to ask, does her base in California, does Congressman Schiff's base in California, did they have exposure to this operation, Jay? It's a fair question to ask. That's where Feng Feng was centered, and I think it's fair to ask whether or not they had interaction with her as well.
You know, I mean, I want to play again for people because this is a guy who deserves everything he's going to get and more, probably more than he probably won't get what he actually deserves, but we're going to work hard to see that he at least is not one of these select members of Congress who gets the most classified briefing. I mean, Adam Schiff shouldn't be the chair of that committee either. He does the same thing, you know, calling the president a Russian actor controlled by Russia, and he knew the facts were not that case, and yet he remains chair of that committee. You wonder why the House Democrat majority is shrinking, even in a tough election year for Republicans at the very top of the ticket, including the president. Their majorities keep getting lower and lower to where it could be down by five, a five seat majority for the House ultimately once everything shakes out. But I want you to listen to Eric Swalwell. Why are we so focused on him? Because he called our president a traitor. Take a listen.
The question has shifted from whether the president is working with the Russians to what evidence exists that the president is not working with the Russians.
He's betrayed our country, and I don't say that lightly. I worked as a prosecutor for 7 years, and
betraying the country. By the way, we want evidence before you say that. But you said an agent of Russia.
Yeah, he works on their behalf.
Do you still believe that the president is a Russian agent?
I think he acts on Russia's behalf, and he puts Russia's interests ahead too often of America's interests.
You're a member of judiciary. Do you believe the president right now has been an agent of the Russians?
Yes, I think there's more evidence than he
agent.
Is. Yes, and I think all the arrows point in that direction, and I haven't seen a single piece of evidence that he's not.
And you know, we also played a bite yesterday, which we'll play in a minute, which was then Swalwell defending China. So, I mean, this is transparent what's going on here. I mean, you don't have to be a constitutional lawyer to figure out the nonsense that's going on here.
No, I mean, Rodden wrote it on Facebook. What information did he have on COVID? Seems like the Intel Committee should have been investigating its origins instead of a faux impeachment.
I wonder what...
Because that was ongoing while we were in Washington, D.C. Yeah. We knew COVID was coming. We didn't know the extent of how bad it was yet, but it was already coming. We were all packed into rooms. And that Intel Committee led by Adam Schiff spent no time on the coronavirus and China because I think they're all on the left bought off by China. Various interests that China controls, including the California guys because of the media coming and the tech world that wants to still operate in China and the motion picture world that wants to operate, including and the NBA. I mean, you've got a lot of interests that will say, oh, let's just not criticize, let's not say anything. But it goes a step further when you're like advocating for China. Remember the outrage when the president said, okay, COVID came from China, we've got to stop individuals, not goods and services. They're not going to hurt business, but we're going to stop individuals from traveling to China. He was called xenophobic. I mean, this was where the virus originated.
By Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, and it wasn't under control because in these dictatorships, they don't do Operation Warp Speed. They just act like there's no virus. They don't really care about their people that much. And so whether it's China or Russia and the Iran or India. We don't know the COVID number. You know, we keep being called the number one COVID country in the world. You got to be kidding me.
We have no idea.
We don't get any real numbers out of the worst actors China, of the world India, who don't take care Russia. Of their people.
We have no idea. This is an interesting call coming in on from California on line five. Let's take it. Justin, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Jay. Thank you for everything you guys do.
Yep.
My question is, should we assume now that certain sensitive intelligence information that Swalwell was privy to is now compromised by the Chinese government?
Yes, because
I don't know how you don't.
I mean, at a certain point, they say, you know, they're saying that they don't believe that there was any classified. I mean, that's also Washington speak. I think you use the right word, which is sensitive intelligence that may or may not be classified at the time he received it. Also, the fact that she didn't go back until she was basically outed as a spy and then disappeared back into China. So we have no ability to question this person, her intern that was there, who was also a bundler. Let me tell you about somebody like this. I interned on Capitol Hill. I was 18, 19 years old. I wasn't bundling donations for members of Congress. You know, a bundler is someone who can probably raise over $100,000 in a month on behalf of a member of Congress in donations that are limited to about $2,600. So you got to know a lot of people with a lot of money to be a bundler at 18, 19, 20 years old.
Well, I'm going to ask this to Tham, but you're a student from China on a student visa here in the United States. You're going to college. You become friendly with the congressman and others. You eventually bundle finances for the congressman. You're a student from China on a visa. And then you get interns placed in his office. And nobody said, this is an unusual move for this student from China.
It's fiction, Jay. I mean, you just have to think it's fiction. I just like Jordan, I interned in a congressional office. Guess what I did when I was there? I answered the phones and I opened the mail. I did not bundle to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars for the congressman.
Yeah, and I didn't spend a lot of time with the congressman. I mean, there were certain times they would spend time with interns, you know, to do the normal kind of thing, thanking them for their service, maybe spend a day, maybe take them to lunch in the cafeteria, that kind of thing. Not bundle him, not go to high-dollar fundraisers where they're like the top of the list of who's bundling the money for you, which puts into question again, this would be bad for any member, but Intel committee members specifically get classified info that other members of Congress don't. Swalwell should do the right thing and resign on his from the committee on his own, or at least take some kind of leave if he wants to play with the Democrat way. But again, Republicans are demanding that Nancy Pelosi remove him, and Nancy Pelosi does not have the incoming House that she had on this way in right what she has right now. She has lost a lot of seats, and that means a lot of control is very slim in a divided Democrat Party.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
You on something that's positive that's happening for churches across the country and places of worship. You may recall earlier under the COVID crisis when there were the restrictions being put in place, they were starting to close down churches as well, treating them the same as a business. And again, I think a lot of those business closures are wrong too. But see, the difference between a casino, a business, a restaurant, and a church or another place of worship. By the way, when a church wins these, so does every other place of worship, a synagogue, mosque, Hindu worship, the list can go on in our country. I mean, they all are able to take advantage of that. But we had a Supreme Court that was not realizing that the First Amendment should trump literally these states. That's when it, even with federalism, you can't violate First Amendment guarantees. And what we are starting to see now, and this is something I didn't know if I'd ever see in my legal career, is new breath into the Free Exercise Clause, which was eviscerated by the Supreme Court since the 1960s and 70s. It basically meant nothing. And now we're starting to see a new breath into it because of President Trump. Why do I say because of President Trump? Because of President Trump, Mitch McConnell, and Lindsey Graham, President Trump nominated Amy Coney Barrett. Lindsey Graham got her through committee. Mitch McConnell got her confirmed, all within a record time leading up to an election. They faced a lot of criticism over it. But guess what? All those cases that were losers, they were literally losers because John Roberts was siding with the liberal justices of the court. And so when churches challenged these rules under the First Amendment, but when Judge Barrett was confirmed, they brought a new case against the New York governor, Cuomo. And guess what? 5-4. Justice Barrett being that key fifth vote, because at that time Chief Justice Roberts was still siding with the liberals that no, these state restrictions cannot trump. This was just back in November 25th. This is all new. They can't trump the First Amendment. And then we saw a victory in California. Newsom, you can't do this. And now just yesterday, California and New Jersey, both by the Supreme Court, said, no, you cannot do this to the governors. And in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, Nevada, they said, no, you can't do this, Nevada. You're opening casinos, but you're telling churches they can't have in-person attendance. So that was, but we've still got cases out of Illinois,
California
to clarify this. And what I encourage people to do too, the Archbishop of D.C. has just sued the D.C. mayor. It takes a church or another religious house of worship to bring the lawsuit. And I want to let you know out there, if you're a pastor and you're in one of these states and you haven't gotten the clearance yet, go to aclj.org/help. Tell us that you want to challenge the state restrictions on in-person worship, because right now the Supreme Court dad is handing these out in slip opinions. I mean, and you may actually get a victory before now going to all the way to the Supreme Court, like the Ninth Circuit yesterday.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing, Harry and I talked about this yesterday, is that the court now is addressing these in pretty rapid-fire succession. But it morphed from 5-4 against when Justice Ginsburg was still alive, because Roberts joined the majority there against the churches, and then it was 4-4, and now it's 5-4 the other way. Harry?
5-4, and in some cases, 6-3.
Yeah.
So what the Supreme Court has done under the leadership of President Trump and Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham is that they have worked together to revitalize the First Amendment, to reinvigorate freedom of worship. It is clear beyond question that places of worship were subject to discriminatory regulations. So, for instance, hundreds of people could gather in Lowe's or Home Depot, but they were limiting churches to 50, in some cases 25 individuals, even in a church sanctuary that would seat 5,000 individuals. So I think it is clear that there's a new day with respect to the First Amendment. Now the word is getting out to lower courts. So in the Calvary Chapel Dayton Valley case in Nevada, the Ninth Circuit reversed a lower court's decision denying an injunction for relief and essentially granted the injunction for relief. And so I think this will now seep down to district courts.
And this is interesting because back when these cases were again, they were losers at the Supreme Court because of John Roberts. He was siding with the liberals. Justice Gorsuch wrote this in the dissent out of the first Nevada case, and now the states are bringing him back again. Churches are bringing him back because they know it's going to be different now. He wrote this, in Nevada, it seems, and this was right to the Chief Justice, it's better to be in entertainment than religion. Maybe that's nothing new, but the First Amendment prohibits such obvious discrimination against the exercise of religion. The world we inhabit today, with a pandemic upon us, poses unusual challenges. But there is no world in which the Constitution permits Nevada to favor Caesar's Palace, nothing against Caesar's Palace, but over Calvary Chapel.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know, Caesar or Christ. Remember, what did Jesus famously say? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, unto God that which is God's.
It's seen across the country. I see in New Mexico, it was out there, and then, you know, you've got the casinos running out there, but yet the cities are shut down, places of worship shut down. Or these very low attendance numbers.
I think the court is recognized.
They're ready to go and get this done.
I think what Jordan said is right. If your church is dealing with, now look, there could be more restrictions put in place with the days ahead, could be rough.
Which
is why. You got to be reasonable. But I do think there is quick action available, Harry, at the Supreme Court. They're taking these cases.
Absolutely.
Really quickly.
And I think in a very, very important development, in a case called High Plains Harvest Church versus Paulus, the governor of Colorado, the court issued the following opinion. The application for injunctive relief presented to Justice Gorsuch and by him referred to the court is treated as a petition for writ of certiorari before judgment, and the petition is granted. And so they essentially remanded that case to the district court for further consideration in light of the Supreme Court's decision in Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn versus Cuomo. And in an important development, Justice Roberts joined with the majority in that particular case.
Why do you think he did it?
Well, in part because he could now rely on precedent. In other words, he can say, we have reached an opinion, perhaps, that I disagree with in the Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn versus Cuomo, but it is now essentially the law of the land.
Exactly.
And I think that's a very, very helpful development for houses of worship.
He's something else. Yeah. But we do have our stay in place in the Pennsylvania case in the election, and we still have the stay in place for the president on the tax return information in advance, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean,
he's a hard one to figure out.
Yes,
very. I've only known him for 35 years.
Yeah, so again, when we come back, second half hour, we'll get back into the Swalwell issue. We're going to take your call. I know a lot of people have calls on that, comments on that they want to make. We're going to get back into that and the situation, which, again, the ACLJ, I just want you to know, yes, when you support the work financially, we are able to bring you the broadcast, whether you listen on radio, watch on YouTube, Facebook, SiriusXM, Rumble, all these other places that the broadcast is available, or ACLJ.org. We actually do the legal work. Like we said, the churches can come to us. We'd represent them at no cost to fight these restrictions. We're filing 4 FOIAs today on Swalwell to the NSA, to the Director of National Intelligence, to the State Department, and to the FBI. This is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. See, our work doesn't stop just because it's getting close to the holidays. We're working harder than ever for you. Donate to the ACLJ today. Double the impact of your donation. It's a matching challenge month, the entire month of December. Donate today, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with more on Swalwell in the second half hour.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Fight for the right to live in freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Some of you may be wondering, hey, why are we not spending more time on the Senate hearing on the 2020 voting irregularities? Here's why. I do not want to give anybody false hope that the U.S. Senate alone can hear about all these irregularities and problems in the Homeland Security Committee, and it's fine that they're having the hearing and getting the information. That's great. But that they can do anything about it on their own. They can't. One branch of Congress cannot do that. Now, two branches can. We've walked through that before, but it's very unlikely because Democrats still control the House of Representatives. So I just wanted to comment on that so you know.
No, right.
And we really do want to, I think, we need to start making sure that issues like Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's involvement and Swalwell don't get swallowed up, if you will, by Christmas, New Year's, the Georgia election, which is important. Obviously, we're going to spend time on that on January 5th. And then if it's a new administration, this all gets forgotten. This is just starting. At the ACLJ, we're just starting to gather the information by actually taking action by filing the Freedom of Information Act request with a friendly administration right now. And I'd say other than the FBI, which I always question, and Christopher Wray, who's supposedly staying on if Joe Biden is the president, but we're also going to the NSA, the Director of National Intelligence, Ratcliffe, and the State Department as well, Pompeo leading that, NSA, Robert O'Brien leading that. So again, we are taking direct action at the ACLJ. We do not just talk about that on our broadcast. We try to see what we talk about. We try to, as much as possible, be able to engage. I know before we were talking, the last 3 months have been a lot of election talk. Now, in our individual capacities separately, we were very and still are very engaged in all of that and in defense of the president. And there's other matters. There's New York DA, the New York Attorney General wants to go after. In fact, the New York Attorney General ran on I will go after the president, was condemned by many state attorney generals for saying, how can you run on something you don't even know what's going on?
We'll deal with that later.
But that's something, again, that you've got to be ready for, folks, and that we're ready for as well. So I don't, when people say, because I've seen some of these comments, you guys are giving up the fight. We are still very much in fighting mode when it comes to defending our president of the United States, President Trump, and will be, whether or not he's taking the oath or Joe Biden is taking the oath January 20th. Let me go to some phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Lewis in Colorado online, too, has been holding on. Hey, Lewis, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. And I just want to say quickly, we got the victory yesterday for the churches that we are considered essential, and there's no cap to our attendance. But I was with the Air Force in the 70s, and I had a secret clearance, and they did a background check because I worked with missiles in Wyoming, Minuteman threes.
Yep.
And they did a background check that went all the way down to my childhood.
Yep.
They contacted my best friend's mother and talked and asked her about me and how I know, because my best friend years later said, hey, what kind
of job did you have? So in the House of Representatives, though, once they're elected, then there's not really a background check on the congressman. That's just the fact.
That's true, although in this case, the responsibility lies with Speaker Pelosi, and she knew about this information, Jay. So, I would argue that probably in the course of this briefing to Congressman Swalwell, that was the background check that was provided to Speaker Pelosi, and she chose not to act on it. Jay, look, she's the one with the power. She could remove him. She should respond to this letter by doing it.
Harry, we only got a minute left here. She's not going to do anything.
I don't think she is. I think what we have
take a lot more pressure.
Is a basically collusion between Nancy Pelosi and Eric Swalwell.
Yeah, I think that's actually a way to. Well, because she was part of it, she let him stay. She's let him stay on the committee.
And
he's saying, Jordan, he's saying nothing right now.
No, nothing at all. I mean, and in fact, I mean, the right thing would have been to at least take a leave of absence and let an investigation be conducted. But of course, who would conduct that investigation? Adam Schiff, who's probably also involved in this. I mean, because of they're all West Coast links to China, and they don't like ever when China's criticized, even though that's why we're dealing with COVID still to this day. Though thanks to the president, we've got the vaccine going out. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want to go right to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., because Than, as we were kind of finishing out that segment, we talked about how whether Nancy Pelosi will take any action on this. But Nancy Pelosi does not have an incoming majority like she had before. She's been losing seats, I don't know if we know exactly where it's going to fall yet, but because some of those elections were so close. But, I mean, she is not going to be able to operate the way she was used to operating, because she's going to be facing a midterm election in a couple of years where it's very likely, if she continues on this path and lets Swalwell get a pass and all these individuals get a pass and stays this kind of partisan rhetoric, not working with Republicans, even if they continue to control the Senate, I think she puts herself at a lot of political risk and her party at a lot of political risk if they go down this path, because it's going to be a different House of Representatives when they're sworn in January.
It sure is, Jordan. I don't even think it's a foregone conclusion that she's elected Speaker in the first place. And if she is, she could lose it. I mean, here are the numbers, Jordan. Right now, there are 222 Democrats in the House, 211 Republicans, and then there's two races pending. Jordan, there's one race in New York where the Republicans ahead by 12 votes. There's one race in Iowa where the Republicans up by 6. So if those held, it would be 222 to 215. So she could only afford to lose 4 votes on the floor of the House for that speakership, Jordan. And I know a lot of the media reported that she was elected unanimously to the speakership. Jordan, what that was a virtual meeting inside the conference where she was not challenged and she was nominated to the speaker. But as you know, she's got to go to the floor of the House when the new Congress sits, and she has to get 218 votes to be elected speaker. And just yesterday, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she said that she thinks they need new leadership inside the House Democrat caucus. Now, she didn't say she was going to try to take Speaker Pelosi down, but Jordan, to your point, if something happens between now and then that ruffles her feathers, that makes her upset at Speaker Pelosi, she's likely only going to need to find 4 other members of Congress to vote against Pelosi to keep her from the speakership. Do I think it's going to happen? Not necessarily, but I'll tell you this, there's going to be a lot of drama.
Yeah, I mean, if they find a candidate that would be acceptable to the more, I'd say, extreme part of the Democrat Party, I mean, she's got the squad. Isn't that like 3 votes right there plus hers? That's 4 right there, so she needs one more. And if they found, and that one more could be the person who they want to move forward, it'd have to be someone who still, I guess, could get 218, so it may not be as liberal as they like. But as you said, the key word she used
was new leadership, not exactly totally in line with where they are on basically being socialist, but new leadership that's actually taking can take control. And again, I think that's why Nancy Pelosi should be worried when you have these Swalwell type stories and you're trying to ignore them and the mainstream media is helping you ignore them. But then you're going to get into a new Congress and people are not going to ignore them.
I want to change focus just for a little bit here, because there's also going to be a big issue with Iran.
Yeah.
You know, you had two diametrically different policies, one under President Trump, which was to marginalize, isolate Iran. He had the support of most of the Arab world, who've now joined four countries, major countries have joined an alliance with Israel. Wes, how do you see it? Because that's going to be a big change, I think. They're going to go back to the JCPOA, I bet.
Yes.
Or try to.
Well, Joe Biden has said he wants to re-enter that agreement. And the thing about it is that we have made more progress in the last 4 years towards Middle East peace and towards containing Iran than we have, you know, in a long, long time. And there are those on the left and in the Biden administration who absolutely do want to reverse that. Another thing that I found very alarming that happened yesterday is 17 different denominations and religious groups sent a letter to the transition team for Biden asking that they allow individuals and American companies to re-enter the BDS program. They want the Palestinians to be re-engaged.
That's the boycott, divest, and sanction movement against Israel.
Right. And they want the Palestinians to be brought into the conversation and make any agreements contingent upon them. And even more frightening, Jay, these 17 denominations want us to go to reverse Trump's policy of taking away $200 million in aid to the Palestinian Authority and give it back to them, even though they are still operating the pay for slave program, you know, rewarding terrorists in that group. These countries want to
explain that pay for slave. People can't even believe this is actually happening.
Yeah, any time that a Palestinian attacks someone, you know, in Israel or even an American, I guess, when they do that, if they are killed, the family gets a stipend. A permanent stipend for the loss of that loved one. If they are arrested and put in an Israeli jail, they send a stipend to the person in prison or to their family if they are trying to kill Americans and Jews in Israel. That's the pay-to-slay program. President Trump reversed it, said, we will not give you any money until you stop that. The Palestinians have been intransigent. They're still doing it. And yet these religious groups want us to start paying the Palestinian Authority again. So I bring all that up to give you some of the context of the possible alarming changes coming up with Iran and with the Middle East.
Yeah, and here's the part to me, then, that's troubling. And that is, if the Georgia Senate seats, which is, again, a national election, your home state, if the Georgia Senate seats go Democratic, what is going to be preventing those policies from becoming reality?
Yeah, nothing, Jay. I mean, Look, because we already know that the Biden administration would want to do this. I mean, he's putting Jake Sullivan in place. This is his modus operandi. He drafted the Iran deal. He agrees with reinstating the Palestinian funding. The only check, Jay, would be if the Congress, the House and the Senate, would issue a statutory prohibition on it. Something, by the way, that could be possible if there were some bipartisan agreement. And like Jordan talked about, that narrow margin in the House, that would be a difficult lift, but it would be possible. But Jordan, Jay, if the Senate is controlled by the Democrats, the House is controlled by the Democrats, and there's a Biden administration, there is not a check on a policy like that going back into place.
I mean, this again, think about how important then Georgia is. It's why most you see it, senators, members of the Congress, Republican leaders, I think the vice president today is heading down there. I mean, it is going to be just a buildup. I mean, yes, Christmas will slow down a little bit, but there will be a buildup to January 5th because you've got early voting already going. You have Stacey Abrams saying that their group's already got together 1.2 million absentee ballots. That's not enough to win, but that is a significant amount, and that was just a week ago, so what's that number growing to? And the Secretary of State in Georgia, there has been a lawsuit filed by the RNC. This better be conducted the right way. But the Secretary of State in Georgia is still blaming President Trump for their irregularities and problems and trying to say that there was no issues in Georgia, which we saw videos of the issues. We saw the problems that existed. And so, again, I think there's that concern as well. But here's how you beat Dominion and the kind of failed Secretary of State, massive Republican turnout. And it's still there in Georgia. And people need to get excited. They need to go vote now, vote early, get your vote in, get your friends to vote. And both Loeffler and Perdue, who already beat Ossoff, but just not by enough technically, in very small amount, but so he had to do the runoff. And then Loeffler, who again was in this multi-person race, came out number one, and then Doug Collins was in it too. If you combine them, they would beat Warnock. So again, and he is very radical. I mean, and Ossoff, radical as well. These are two that, I mean, you've got Linda Sarsour campaigning down there with Tlaib and Omar. Real. And this is the kind, and this is while Warnock is saying, you know, I'm not an anti-Semite. You know, he's trying to, this now he's having to explain, but the polls are neck and neck.
49-48 yesterday.
And the money coming in from the left is unbelievable. And so if you're outside, you have Georgia and you want to make an impact, they've done ways, even if you don't have resources to donate, there are programs where you can start making phone calls into Georgia, encouraging people, like we've been trying to say, don't be discouraged by what happened in 2020. Make sure these two senators win so that there's a check on the left in the executive branch, or else no check on the left. And Chuck Schumer gets to remake America, like he said.
Wait, listen, Chuck Schumer then said he was going to said, we take Georgia, we take the world, and then he said we take America. And that's the plan. So this is the national election.
Absolutely. I mean, in addition to the candidates that are going to be officially on the ballot in Georgia, Leader Schumer and Leader McConnell are also on that ballot. And, you know, by the way, Jay, I mean, if it's Leader Schumer that is elected and controls the Senate, the trifecta there under a Biden administration would be President Biden, Leader Schumer, and Speaker Pelosi. All of these issues we're talking about, Jay, that have a statutory component, those three would be making the decision.
You know, folks, this is why the work of the ACLJ is so critical right now. Again, we're trying to provide you the right information, not letting you be dissuaded either, especially if you're a Georgia voter, because a lot of that's coming from the left telling you, be upset, be angry, and don't show up because you can't win. It's rigged. The system's rigged against you. No, you can win. David Perdue did. And Kelly Loeffler won to take on Warnock. Warnock. So you got to get out there and vote. Voting has already begun. RNC has got the team there even more so than the election before because they saw the failure of the Republican Georgia leadership at the state level. So support the work of the ACLJ. We're on all these issues, folks. A matching challenge month of December. Double the impact your donation. We have a group of donors say we'll match every donation that comes through until the end of the month. Donate today at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, and we do want to continue to focus, you know, that this Iran issue could be very serious, depending on not just the outcome of the Georgia Senate races, but also because when a president acts, they have the most power when they act in the foreign policy realm. And, yep. You know, we could be right back in a situation, you know, Rick Grenell talked about it, where it's the compromise scenario. It's the John Kerry mindset that really nothing can get done in the Middle East if we don't solve first the Palestinian and Israeli issue, even though President Trump has made peace deals with the UAE and Bahrain and Sudan and Morocco, that without solving and being tougher on the Palestinians, and at the same time moving the embassy, U.S. embassy, to Jerusalem, finally, after congressional laws authorized that for decades. But I even put that in question, whether or not they'll try to move that embassy. I mean, I'm serious.
No, I think there's a realistic possibility that they will try to move the embassy. There's a, you know, Wes said this during the break, there is no love lost between the leadership of the Democratic Party and a lot of the, especially the, and then you got the whole Omar crowd,
right,
that are anti-Israel, mm-hmm, anti-Semitic, and the Iran policy is going to shift.
Yeah, the Democratic leadership is decidedly anti-Israel, and they are for negotiating and placating Iran. Mahmoud Abbas, by the way, and they want the Palestinians to get back in the conversation as a condition for continued Middle East peace. But Mahmoud Abbas has already said that one of those preconditions, he will not even negotiate unless we move the embassy back to Tel Aviv from Jerusalem. He's already said that openly.
I mean, so this is not an option. Now, I want to ask both of you and Than a question. I'm going to start with Than quickly. So Than, the new Senate comes back, House comes in, Senate comes in. A move like on Iran, the lifting, the reentry into the JCOP, what can Congress do?
Yeah, not a whole lot, especially if those two seats in Georgia go to the Democrats. I mean, look, Here's the framework, Jay. The Iranian Review Act, I thought this was a bad move at the time, but the Iranian Review Act says the Senate would actually have to have a majority to disprove an agreement that was entered to, not to ratify it, right, but to actually disprove. So the assumption is on the aside that the administration can do it. Jay, there's not a lot to undo that unless you can pass a new statute, yep, which, of course, Joe Biden wouldn't sign.
So, Jordan, you know Georgia politics. I don't know if our audience understands yet, and I think this is, you said it, I'm going to say this again. I know you want to hear about what's happening on this election case and that election case, but the fact of the matter is the best case was, or the most significant case that would have had the most impact was the Supreme Court case involving Texas, and that was a negative. So the chances of a court case coming to victory here are non-existent in my view. Now you could start saying, oh, I can't believe it. It's not giving up. It's dealing with fact. So that's fact one. Fact two, could the legislatures do some of these various states? Yeah, they could. I'm not so sure they will. Looks like they're probably not. Then you've got the Georgia national election, because the entire Senate hangs in the balance. Do the people in Georgia and does the rest of the United States understand what's at stake here?
Do I think they understand in Georgia? I think there is still that factor of fatigue, and do they trust the system? And unfortunately, I think there's some big, loud voices in Georgia who are unknowns really in the Georgia political world, but are trying to make themselves known, who are trying to discouraging voting. It's absurd. David Perdue beat Ossoff. Kelly Loeffler was in a good spot in a runoff. Yes, it is upsetting what happened to President Trump in Georgia, and I do think that was wrong, and I do think there were issues there. But again, Republicans, if they show up in big numbers, will win both of those Senate seats, regardless of the Hollywood money, regardless of what Stacey Abrams is doing. These two Republicans are just well established to win in a state like Georgia that even may be going through this transformation right now, because they're not the radicals that Ossoff and especially Warnock are. And they're not so outside the mainstream that kind of a middle-of-the-road independent voter would be afraid of voting for a David Perdue, you know, former CEO, or Kelly Loeffler, former CEO, and sending them both back to the U.S. Senate. So I think, again, Georgia voters, stop listening to the Democrats and these unknown names, probably funded by Democrat interest and left interest, that are trying to discourage you. You can go vote now. Go vote now. And then spend the rest of the time between now and January 5th getting your friends together to go and vote. You can be the reason why there is a check on a potential Biden administration. You will be the reason why in Georgia if you get these senators elected and for one of them, reelected.
It's a big deal.
And I think that's how much weight is on Georgia conservative Republican voters and also voters in Georgia who just think, you know, it's not a good idea to have an executive branch that is controlled by this one single party. And that, you know, a lot of business people will agree to that as well, who might not be that partisan, but they like a check on whoever's in the White House, especially if they've got the House of Representatives already, even with a slimmer margin. They want a check. It's usually a little bit better, safer, especially when you hear about these radical policies like Green New Deal and radical new economic policies and tax hikes on businesses. So I think if that all comes together the right way, Georgia can be the wall between a Green New Deal and some of the, again, making it so easy just to rejoin the Iranian nuclear deal and all of these different, and by the way, all these committees with hearing power now would be in control by Democrats if these Georgia senators, Republican senators, lose these races. So you're not going to get any more investigation by Congress into Hunter Biden, into Joe Biden, into any wrongdoings by the administration going forward, if it's the Biden administration, so long as they've got both the House and the Senate. It puts the country and it puts conservatives in a spot where, yeah, we will fight either way. But let me tell you something, folks, a lot easier to fight when you've got one House of Congress that is at least willing to stand in the way of the most radical policies.
We've got a caller that's been holding for a long time, and it's on the Swalwell thing. Let's go ahead and take it.
Yeah, hey, Steve, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? I have a question on the spy thing. If she was outed as a spy,
Yeah. Why
wasn't she arrested, or was she outed after she went back to China?
All we know is that that he was briefed, Swalwell was briefed, given a briefing, and then she was gone.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously she knew probably better than Swalwell, and maybe because of Chinese intelligence, that it was coming, and so to get out.
So they got her out.
So they got her out, and, you know, that's and then he remained on the... was placed on the Senate Intel Committee after all of that.
All right, I want to say something to our Facebook and YouTube audience. We're still trying to really have a goal to get to 300,000 subscribers on our YouTube page this month. Your support really makes that happen. So if you're on YouTube right now, just hit the subscribe button and the little bell next door. That'll give you next to the subscribe button. That'll give you a notice when we're live. On Facebook, all you do is hit like and follow. And you'll get on Jay Sekulow Facebook, Jordan Sekulow, and ACLJ. And then you'll get, and of course, also on Rumble. It's not up live, but it's up on there. It's posted later in the day. Twitter, Periscope, all the various platforms. You see them up on the screen if you're watching. Radio audience, thank you for continuing to listen and support the broadcast. And talking about supporting the broadcast, we're in the last 2 weeks of our matching challenge campaign. So your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. We encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Great way to support the work of the ACLJ. But again, sign on and subscribe to our social media platforms. Very important that you do that. Talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.